This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. My guest, Sissy Houston, has sung on the gospel circuit since she was a child. She's also sung secular music. She performed with the Sweet Inspirations, the group that backed Aretha Franklin. And she sang backup for Solomon Burke, Dusty Springfield, Wilson Pickett, Van Morrison, The Drifters, and Dionne Warwick. Another notable contribution she's made to singing, she's the mother of Whitney Houston. Now Sissy Houston has written her autobiography, which is called How Sweet the Sound, My Life with God and Gospel. Let's start with some music from Sissy Houston's recent gospel album, Face to Face. This is God Don't Ever Change.
God and all creation, God when Adam fell.
Adam fell.
God way up in heaven,
God, down
God way down in hell.
Sissy Houston, welcome to Fresh Air.
Thank you so very much for having me.
So how old were you when you started singing in the family group?
5 years old. I was 5 years old, and they had to put me on a stool in order to see me. And, of course, at 5 years old, I wanted to be out playing with everyone else. And it was kind of difficult for me. But there was no question. I didn't have a choice.
Did you love to sing then?
I did not love to sing at that point. I grew to learn to sing because you know what happens when your relatives, when you have singers in the family, and at that time you did what you were told. And when the family came over, which was like weekends, or we went over there, that was their request. They wanted to hear some singing, and that's what we did.
You must develop a great ear for harmony when you start singing close harmony at the age of five.
For sure, I really did. And I prefer it. I like that a lot of times a cappella. That is first and foremost in teaching, as far as I'm concerned, that the harmonies be right.
So how did you first start hearing secular music, and who were some of the performers that you first heard?
Well, Donna Washington was one of my favorite people, and I love her. Today I love her. Sarah Vaughan went to school with my sister, so she lived in the neighborhood also. I listened to her, Jimmy Witherspoon. I loved him. B.B. King, you know, people like that. The blues, I love the blues. things like that.
I'd love to hear the story of how you became a backup singer. I think this that Dionne Warwick relates to this story. Dionne Warwick and her sister Dee Dee were backup singers. And had you known them from church choir?
No, they're my nieces.
They're your nieces?
Yes, they are.
Oh, well, small world.
Both of them are.
So how does Dionne Warwick's having been a backup singer relate to you having become one?
Well, actually, Dionne had something else to do that night with the Shirelles, and my husband was managing them at the time.
Managing the Shirelles or Dionne Warwick?
No. Dionne and her group and background singers, Dee Dee, Dionne, and another kid, Sylvia. And he was managing them, and he had a session to do. And, of course, he couldn't stop her from going with the Shirelles. That was a great opportunity for her. He asked me, would I do it? I said, yeah, I'll do it. You know, I didn't really want it. Didn't bother, because I had just had a baby like a month before that. And but anyhow, I did. We wrapped up and went into New York. And at first, the guy didn't want, he wanted to cancel the session. So my husband said, well, just listen, you know, whatnot. And they did. And after that, they wanted me, I finished the whole week with them. They wanted me. They didn't want, you know, they wanted to go back. They liked the sound and all of that. And that's how I got started in it.
After singing backup for a while, you ended up singing with Aretha Franklin as
yeah,
one
well,
of her
I
backup singers.
I worked with Aretha when she was on Columbia also. The earlier days before she got to Atlantic, which she did some marvelous music, just wasn't appreciated, I guess, like it should have been. Then she came to Atlantic, and yeah, and looked like our paths met again. And wound up singing background for her, yeah, a lot.
Now in your memoir, you say that one of your favorites of the Aretha tracks is Natural Woman, and you worked out the background parts on this. Can you tell us a little bit about how you did that, what you were looking for?
Well, I don't know. You always, when you work out back, I worked out background parts on most of the things that I did. But Natural Woman was like, you try to enhance what she's done, you know, and that's the point. That's the gist of doing backgrounds to make it better, you know. And a lot of times, backgrounds make songs and really sell them. And I don't know how I worked it out right now. It was just repeating and thinking about, you know, doing something. You try one thing and that works or doesn't work. You try something else.
Now, had you come up with the ahs, or was that a producer who suggested that?
No, that was me.
That was you?
Mm-hmm.
I always wonder, like, how do you know what syllable to use? Like, why ahu instead of ua or, you know, wahoo or...
Neither do I. I don't know why. You try the one that works, I guess.
Well, why don't we hear Natural Woman? Aretha Franklin, Sissy Houston is one of the backup singers on this, and she did the vocal arrangements, the harmonies.
Mm-hmm. When my soul and found, you came along to claim it. I didn't know just what was wrong with me till your kiss helped me name it. Now I'm no longer doubtful of what I'm living for, and if I make you happy,
That's Aretha Franklin with Sissy Houston, my guest, as one of the backup singers, and she did the vocal harmonies for that track. Sissy Houston, did you feel a connection to Aretha Franklin through gospel music?
Somewhat, because we both were in gospel music, did the same kind of, you know, thing, stirring kind of gospel, and yes, I felt like a camaraderie with her.
And when you were doing backup vocals for Aretha Franklin, did you find that everything you needed to know, you knew from gospel music, that the harmonies you were using came out of gospel music?
Oh, sure. Oh, sure. One thing about us, we pushed one another. We were just, you know, we'd feed off one another, which made it a terrific sound and such a great, you know, audience participation. They just loved it.
Now, how would you record in the studio? Did you all sing at the same time, or was everything overdubbed?
No, well, sometimes we sang at the same time. With Aretha, at that point, yeah, everything was overdubbed. On Columbia now, we sang at the same time. She sang in a booth, and we were in either maybe a booth or outside with something else.
What was your preference?
Well, booth is good, and overdubbing is greater because you can really get a down sound, you know, good sound, balance, and all that kind of business. And things that you think of, you know, that you that might work better on something, you don't have to stick with it, you know.
What did you enjoy and what didn't you like about singing backup?
I didn't like anything, you know. I loved singing background. I just love singing it and love creating something that and realizing the outcome and making it was sounding great and good and we sounded good and great and most of all, it's Soul Records.
My guest is singer Cissy Houston. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. Back with Cissy Houston. She's a gospel singer who's written a new book called How Sweet the Sound, My Life with God and Gospel. Now, you had an album of your own in the mid-70s that has since been reissued, and on this you were the lead singer, all secular songs, all cover recordings. Mm-hmm. And in fact, why don't we pause here and listen to a cover you did of one of your niece's hits. And this is I Just Don't Know What to Do with Myself, one of the Burt Bacharach songs. Do you want to say anything about recording this and doing it your way?
Well, I just liked the song, always did. And there was no kind of reason to cover, but I just accepted I just liked the song and wanted to try it another way.
Well, why don't we hear it? And this is from the mid-70s, Cissy Houston.
Great.
That's Cissy Houston from a secular album that she made in the mid-70s. And where were you in your career when your daughter Whitney Houston was born?
I was pretty much doing a great deal of backgrounds. In fact, I was in the studio the night before I went to the hospital.
What were you recording?
I don't know what we were recording. We were recording... I was putting on something, I imagine it was for Aretha or somebody like that. And Tom Dowd, who was the engineer at that point, said, Cissy, are you all right? Are you all right? You know, I said, fine, come on, roll the tape. And they were nervous, Rick.
Well, it must have been hard to take those big, deep breaths you need to sing when you're, you know, ready to give birth.
Not really. You don't even think about it, you know? Uh-huh. I was singing like a mockingbird when I was pregnant.
So when you became a mother and you were on the road a lot, you know, in recording studios and I guess doing some performing as well, what was it like for you to be away from the children?
Painful. It was very painful for me to be away because they reacted to my being away. I guess maybe if... they hadn't acted like, you know, they missed me and they cried and all that kind of business. So that's difficult to go away and watch. Yet you know what you're going for, you know. I wanted them to have a good education. I wanted them to have the things that some of us didn't have, you know what I'm saying? And that was my reason for doing it in the first place, to keep a home. To, you know, we needed a car. I had three children that I wanted to educate and, you know, look nice or whatnot. And all that goes with it. So for that, you have to work.
When did you decide to come off the road?
Well, I really got tired. I got tired of hearing my children cry, Mommy, why do you have to go? And I had decided that I would do something else by myself.
What?
And, well, I was becoming an artist in my own right, and I had an opportunity to do so. And that's when I left the Sweet Inspirations and became a single artist, because I was the oldest one of the group, and they wanted to do other things. They wanted to wear things that I didn't feel like I could afford to do that with my three kids and representing my, you know. So,
You want to give us an example of what
no.
you mean? No, okay.
No, not really. It just clothes that, you know, didn't become me.
Right.
That's all. and I didn't feel good by wearing them. And I decided that I would not, you know, that was the end of that. And I came up the road, and I was home with my children. And then I went back on the road with Dion for a lot of time. But then I could take my daughter with me, and I could take my children sometimes with me. You know, it was different.
When did you realize that Whitney could really sing?
I guess she must have been around 11 when she really sang her first solo, and it was great. Before that, she always liked to practice in the basement of some kind, and she loved to dance and things like that, and I used to take her with me all the time, so she was exposed to that kind of, you know, things, and she was good at what she did, you know, but then at 11, I think that's when I really realized that she really could sing. And I never did think about her having a future in it until she decided that that's what she wanted to do. I thought she was going to be a veterinarian.
And when you realized that she wanted to sing professionally, did you try to encourage or discourage her?
Well, I tried to tell her of all the negatives, you know. And there were so many positives also, but it's your choices that you make.
So when she was starting out, what were some of the things you did to make sure she got on the right track right away professionally?
Well, I thought I would teach her how to sing and how to breathe and how to project and that kind of thing, which helped her immensely in becoming the star that, you know, she is.
If you don't mind my asking, your speaking voice today sounds a little raspy. Your singing yeah. voice sounds really full and clear.
Yeah.
Does your voice kind of change during the day, or is your singing voice and your speaking voice different? Or
it's different.
It's different?
Yes. Everybody's always so surprised when I sing so high, right?
Oh, yeah.
And my voice is so really low. Like you said, it's raspy. But I am tired. I have a cold. So that's probably why I'm usually not this raspy.
Right. Okay. And what's it like for you to sing in a range that's different from your speaking range? Has it always been that way? Or
yeah, it's always been that way.
Even when you were a girl, you were singing higher than you were speaking?
I was a contralto when I was a kid. Very low voice. Very low. Very deep. And pronounced, you know, it was wonderful, like an organ. And I always wanted to sing high, so to develop my range, that's what I did. I did the scales and kept going up and up, you know what I'm saying?
Right. I think a lot of listeners, when they hear, say, an Aretha Franklin record, act as if they are one of the backup singers singing along. It's actually, I think, a lifelong fantasy of a lot of people to have been, I guess to have been you in a way, to have been the backup singer on mm-hmm. on Aretha's records. And I'm wondering, like, do you sing backups when you hear one of those records played back, say, in a restaurant or something?
All the time. In fact, rather than learn the lead parts, I'm usually doing the background, you know, in my house or whatever, you know. I think that's the most. They made a lot of the records now. You know, the background was most important.
It sure was. Do you have a favorite of all the records you've sung backups on?
I guess I like that one, Natural Woman. Mm-hmm. I like Preacher Man by Dusty Springfield. And I did a couple of Whitney's. I loved all of those.
Oh, I guess I should realize that. You're doing the backups on Whitney's records.
Some of them, yeah. I Want to Dance with Somebody and How Will I Know? And I forget the name of the other one. It was a slow one about her man, my man, whatever. Yeah.
And that must have felt good.
It felt very, very good. It felt odd. You know, I'm doing the backup on my baby's, my kid's record, you know. And it was great.
Well, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Sissy Houston, her memoir is called How Sweet the Sound, My Life with God and Gospel. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.